Isn't it great when the presence of God is with us and God is speaking to us very clearly, and people are using their gifts that God has given them to bring, you know, singing in tongues, bringing interpretation, worshipping. And we just have this awesome God, as John says, isn't he? He's a great God. And he does want to set us free this morning. He wants to move us all on in our walk with him. And so whatever this morning, just don't lose what God's been saying to us, because it's so important, isn't it? Because there's nothing greater than walking in the freedom that God gives us. And we were singing one of those songs, How Great Is Our God. And I got about three sheets of paper that talks about my King and how great he is. And I thought, oh, I'm going to bring this. And then it went a different way. And I just thought, how great, we sing that song, but he is great, is our God. Our King Jesus is great. You know, there is power in his name, isn't there, to set us all free. There's power to heal and to save. And sometimes we just lose track of the greatness of God and the power in the name of Jesus to set the captives free. So just hold that in our hearts and minds. God does want to continue to minister to us about being set free in lots and lots of different ways. Now, my preach this morning is not on that subject, but it does fit in some degrees, because I want to continue with God, what God laid on my heart about being a disciple. And this is part three of a part of probably 10 altogether. And it's something that's been laying on my heart for a long while. What is a disciple? What does a disciple look like? How can we be a disciple? And Jesus's last commands to his disciples were, go and make disciples of all nations, not just England or France, but all nations, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that he had commanded them. And when you look at the book of Hebrews, it's primarily a book of discipleship. It's a book of preparation for the difficult times every one of us would face as Christians. On the one hand, it's a book about being perseverance, it's faith and discipline, balanced by the confirmation of Jesus as the high priest of the new covenant, the one in whom we can trust in everything in our lives and the circumstances that life brings. It's a call, I believe, for a people to enter the holies or holies using the terminology of Moses in the tabernacle. It's a place of 100% commitment to Jesus. And therefore, as we move forward into the year 2015, I believe God wants us to examine our lives and our hearts. And to these questions, how committed are we to the will of God for each one of us? Are we hot? Are we cold? Or are we lukewarm? Because I believe 100% today, the call of the Lord today is towards true disciples. Not converts or merely numbers, but disciples. And so today, I'm going to look at my first part of this title of discipleship, taking personal responsibility. And one of the major strongholds in our countries and cultures today, which prevent individuals growing as Christians into full maturity as God wants us to be, or the emergence of new leaders, is a failure to actually take personal responsibility. And we're quite adverse to the word of sins, and we're familiar with it, or the sins of commission. which basically means the things that we do wrong. But in the Middle Ages, there was recognition in the church of a sin called acedi, which was a sin of omission, namely withdrawal, passivity, avoidance of personal responsibility to act or behave in a certain way. So what does the Bible say about personal responsibility today? Well, if we go back first of all to Adam and Eve, when God created men and women, it was his intention that they would rule on the earth in Genesis 1, 26 to 28. So they were given this responsibility for this work on earth, his work. And God told Adam these, didn't he? Don't eat of the tree. But when Eve suggested to eat, it may be a good idea, Adam listened to her without taking responsibility to lead as God had instructed him. And following the event, he then blamed Eve and he also blamed God himself. Because it tells us in Genesis 3, 1 to 13, especially 12, it says, the man said, the woman you put here on earth with me, she gave me the fruit and I ate it. And if we read on then, we find that Eve, when she was confronted, sought to blame the serpent. And blame shifting is evident of life that avoids taking personal responsibility. And how often do we shift the blame onto others for certain circumstances in our lives? Secondly, in the Old Testament culture, Ezekiel and Jeremiah commented on a proverb of their day. It said this, the fathers ate our sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. I don't know about you. Do you understand that? It doesn't seem to make sense to me. But what this proverb was actually saying was, what has been done by others has made me how I am today. And both those prophets condemned that as inaccurate and an avoidance of personal responsibility. As I say, it's still common today to hear people blame their circumstances. Oh, it wasn't my fault. It was my parents. It's my ex-partner's fault. It's the government, etc., 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 for how they are currently behaving today. See, things people may do to us at times may be sinful, but this does not release us from our responsibility to respond to how we are treated in a godly way. It's not what happens to us, but how we react and respond to those matters. And often as individuals, we face a battle not to respond in a godly way. Because we may be hurt, we may be angry. And this aspect of our actual flesh actually needs to be brought under the Lordship of Jesus. Thirdly, we need to know our load. In Galatians 6, 1-5, it says, carry each other's burdens. And then it goes on to say, each one should carry his own load. And when you look at that at first, it thinks, well, I know, it's two contradictory statements. But the reason is, there are two Greek words used here, bear and portion. And bear means a load you can put down after it's carried. So if you went shopping, you carry a bag, can't you? And you can put it down at a certain point. And we all have various times loads that we carry that we need help with. So my question is, what things should we help somebody else carry? And this is thrown open now, because you're all sitting there. What things in life should we help other people carry?
Something's going through a through encouragement or some kind of help.
Yeah.
Grief.
Yeah.
Practical thing,
yeah.
Give someone a hug when they need it.
Give someone a hug when they need it. Pressures, sorrows, failures, sufferings. Just a few of the things that God wants us to help other people with, doesn't he? And we're actually commanded to actually help each other carry these things. And we do actually have a corporate responsibility to help one another in those times. But portion can be likened, this is the other part of it, to a kit bag of a soldier. Now, a soldier is not allowed for anybody else to carry his bag. He has to carry his load himself. And there are certain things in our lives that are our responsibility to carry, aren't they? Do you agree? So please tell me one or two examples.
Our own attitudes.
Looking after our family and parents.
Looking after our relationship with God.
Looking after our relationship with God. How we treat people, yeah.
The consequences of our actions.
The consequences of our actions, yeah.
Asking for forgiveness.
Asking for forgiveness, yeah. It's a good question to ask ourselves, the things we should be helping others and the things that we should be carrying our own loads. And so with that in mind, I want to continue to look at some, looking at some major areas where avoidance of personal responsibility is quite common. And I think there can be some keys about taking our own responsibility. And the first thing is this word withholding. So what do you think the word withhold means?
Not giving it out. You're hanging on to something.
You're hanging on to something. Anything else?
You're hanging on to something that belongs to somebody else.
Yeah.
Not letting go.
Not letting go.
Not doing something that you should know you should do.
Yeah. Just so, again, think of that word. So instead of giving ourselves wholeheartedly, we actually can become passive, cynical, critical, just observers. And here are some of the areas in which we can do these things. And the first thing is what I've brought up this morning as well, is worship. Worship is not optional. For those who like that sort of thing. But the Bible tells us we are to bring a sacrifice of praise as individuals to God, whether we feel like it or not. And the psalmist said many times, praise the Lord, O my soul. So when we come, we should come with an attitude of we want to worship God. Not what the worship group's doing, but we individuals should come with an attitude of praise. It's our responsibility, as the psalmist says, to stir ourselves, not the worship band. We have our own personal responsibility to worship God in spirit and in truth. Secondly, relationships. We are each responsible to encourage and build up one another. It's not just the job of a growth group leader or a leader. It says we are to give ourselves and receive from others. to be corrected, to be open, and to be what God wants each one of us to be. So we have this accountability to one another. So how are we all doing personally with our accountability and responsibility, maybe to someone else to help us with our walk with God? Thirdly, our goods. It tells us in 1 John 3, if anyone has material possessions, sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? And Proverbs 11:24 says, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. People curse the one who hoards grain, but they pray God's blessings on the one who is willing to sell. Doing good. Have you ever heard this? Oh, well, somebody else can do it. I seem to be the only one ever doing this, and I'm fed up with it. I don't want to do it anymore. Our responsibility is for our own obedience before God, not everyone else. So if God's calling you to do something, we do it in obedience with our responsibility. Because in Galatians 6:7-9 it says, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. And my next point is the past. Modern psychology encourages us to think we are products of our environment, our circumstances, birth, where we were born, etc. And sin is therefore something we can't help doing, because it's a part of my everyday life. I'm used to it. And again, we blame circumstances or the past for things that hinder us. So if we sin, which we all do, because the Bible tells us we've all fallen short of the glory of God and we all sin, we have to go and meet Jesus at the cross as responsible people who have sinned. You can't blame someone else for it. We are forgiven when we confess and repent of our sin, not making excuses. So when we do wrong, we need to go to the cross. That's our own responsibility, not somebody else's responsibility. When we get hurt, although we're not responsible for when somebody hurts us, but how do we react in those events is our responsibility. We have to take personal responsibility for forgiving those who have done wrong to us. And that can be quite hard. But then it's real and it's lasting and its freedom becomes possible. And I was challenged on that bit because my attitude was totally wrong one day when I was attacked by a group of teenagers many years ago. And I was hurt. I was wounded. I lost a part of my nose and my ear. And I was so bitter and so angry. And the first words that Rain said to me, have you forgiven them? When I came in the door covered in blood. And I thought, hang on, I can't hack that, Lorraine. It took me a long while. But once I'd forgiven them, which was my responsibility, I had much more of a peace in my heart. And so it is something, it's our responsibility. I could have blamed them for ages and circumstances, but it wasn't. So when we do get hurt, it's how do we respond? It is an act of our will. And It mustn't be just from our hearts as our final authority. It's got to be from our brain, and then our feelings in due course will take a lead from these decisions when we forgive people. Sixthly, the present. If something goes wrong, the tendency today is to look for someone to blame, if it's truthful, or to find an excuse. And our attitude should be this, like President Truman said this, the buck stops here. And this means that we will not blame our wives or our husbands, the government, or they or you, the church, because people do, because that's life. Everyone else does it, or nobody else does it, or even our boss. We can't blame them. In the home, husbands and wives are to take responsibility in the home. Because men, God has given men the responsibility of being the head of the home. And this means that as regards to our wives, we will protect them. We will comfort them. We will nurture them. We will release them. And we will actually, I believe, take the flak. And as regards our children, we will protect, train, discipline and release. But also husbands and wives together need to take responsibility. As the husband's taking headship responsibility, so that both parents are involved in raising and disciplining the children. Both look to God personally for their resources, practically and spiritually, while encouraging each other. Both look to initiate, communicate, and keep the romance in their relationships. Both to make sure that the other is number one in their lives. To honour and respect each other. To make sure the family is seeking first the kingdom of God. Releasing and encouraging each other to find and to fulfil their destiny, purpose, and gifting. And a good question, if you're married here today, is this. Do I see marriage as something first from which I get, or to which I give? God says, taking responsibility means I give in any relationship. What about work taking responsibility? Work is something we do for God rather than our boss. In Colossians 3:23, it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. And keeping this in mind should affect how we work, basically. Honesty and truth, including our time, morality, doing what's right, humility, willingness to submit, generosity, working to give, not to get, serving, a sense of accountability to God, and a perspective of eternity, not just short-term gain. What about our character? Well, Galatians 5:2 says, since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. So the old emphasis really today of the talk is that we should take personal responsibility to develop our characters. We are called to do things for God. And therefore we must ensure that we grow in character as fast as we grow in our knowledge, gifting, roles or function. That is our responsibility as a disciple of the Lord Jesus. And tenthly, our service. Ephesians 2:10 says this, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we may have been chosen for good works, but this does require a responsible decision on our part. That we offer ourselves freely and willingly to God. You see, are we trustworthy? If we say we would do something, do we do it? Do we participate in meetings, praying, prophesying, singing, encouraging? Are we seeking to find our place in the body in the terms of faithful ministry? And just think through modern day life and just think of this. What are the reasons that stop us from taking our personal responsibility? What do you think could stop us from taking our personal responsibility?
Fear.
Themselves being distracted.
Distracted. Yeah.
Pride.
How about some of these? Some reasons why we don't take personal responsibility. You were waited on by your mother. You were dominated at home. You were spoiled and always got your own way. You may have been the little princess. Maybe you've been put down all your life. At school, you were deemed a failure. You have a boss who won't delegate and treats you like a slave. Your workplace makes you feel a number, insignificant. Maybe you are used to the welfare state mentality. Do you think those sort of things could stop us from taking our own personal responsibility? So how can we grow, the question is, in taking personal responsibility? First of all, recognise and admit where we are not taking personal responsibility. Secondly, confess and repent of known sin in this area and see it as sin, not just a weakness. Start the process of renewing our minds. We don't have to live like this. What God was saying this morning, Jesus has the power to break those chains today, I believe. Maybe today some of these areas you are bound up in that. Accountability. Find someone you can be accountable to. Not someone who's just going to agree with you. So you could be somebody in your growth group. It could be a one-to-one discipling. It could be a leader. It could be a friend. But this is how we can grow in taking our personal responsibility. And also we need to learn, I believe, to evaluate ourselves. What do we shrug our shoulders at? Examine what we do when we fail or let someone else down. Identify the times when you struggle and find out, why do I struggle? And pray for help. Because the call of the Lord today is towards discipleship, not numbers or converts. You see, if every one of us here can build a group of disciples, strong in their faith, strong in the values of Jesus, strongly walking in his footsteps, you and I would have done the same as Jesus did with his 12 disciples, his 12 followers. He built a group of dedicated disciples. A group of dedicated disciples. How great is that? Would you like to build a group of dedicated disciples? Two or three really dedicated disciples. See, maybe that things may seem hard at the moment, unproductive at times, in your eyes and in others' eyes. But if you are able to grow a disciple or two as Jesus did, you will receive a crown from God, it says. And share in his glory. And one day we will hear those wonderful words. Well done, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. See, God wants us to truly be his disciples. He wants us to take our own personal responsibility for ourselves with our walk with him. But we do need others to help us on that walk, to encourage us, disciple us, so that we will attain full maturity. We start off with milk, but we need to go on to solids and even more solids. God has called each one of us in this room to go and make disciples of all nations, wherever that may be. Because God is looking for his disciples. Do you want that here in Blackburn? Because next time we'll be looking at more in depth at personal accountability. Amen. Pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that you loved us, that you gave your life for each one of us, Lord Jesus, that we can have eternal life. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've called us to be your disciples. And that's what we want to be, Lord. Would you help us to be those disciples? Would you help us to take our own personal responsibility with our walk with you, Lord? And Lord, if there's things that's stopping us, there's things that's hindering us from moving on, Lord Jesus, there's power in your name to break those chains this morning. And Lord Jesus, would you break those chains? Because we know there is more to come. We know, Lord Jesus, you want to take us up higher with you this morning into the different areas maybe that we've never experienced before. Lord, would you just pour your spirit upon us? Lord, in faith we pray now against all things that are stopping us from being your disciples. Lord, I thank you for everyone in this room that you've called us. And Lord, I pray that each one of us will want to disciple other people, just like you did with your first 12, Lord. And those people would fully attain to your measure, Lord, and know you. Lord, we want to see your church being built here in Blackburn. We want to see your name being glorified here in Blackburn and in the nations. So, Lord, pour your spirit. Bring your releasing right now, Lord. Lord, even if it's sicknesses here this morning, would you bring your healing upon that? Would you break those sicknesses and those diseases and those infirmities? Lord, those people were here this morning with low self-esteem and they've been said that they're no good, and that, Lord, they are good in you. Break all the negatives that's been spoken over people here today. Turn to your positives.